Hello, everyone. I am really excited because I am sitting next to two people that have helped me in my parenting and who hopefully helped you in your parenting as we kicked off this parenthood series. Sean and Christina, good to be with you.
Great. Thanks for having us. Good morning.
Awesome to be around today.
Yeah, so I missed Sunday. I was traveling. I'll share a little bit more about that. But I'd love to hear how it went. How did you guys feel up there? How did you feel the room? What were your overall thoughts?
Super excited, honestly, was my biggest feeling as I looked out and saw, I think we had 70-something parental units out there, and it was fun to see that many families represented, that many people eager to sort out what it looks like to raise kids in a way that honors the Lord and be the kind of parents that God wants them to be. I was particularly excited about the number of parents who have young children that are in the early stages of parenting that are saying, hey, we want to do this well. We want to start out right. That could be what they're saying. Or they may be saying, hey, we're underwater. We're drowning.
Or there was free childcare.
Yeah, there's childcare. We're drowning. Throw us a life preserver. But either way, good group of folks who were there really engaged in what was going on and loved watching them in conversations after. If they brought their spouse and were with them, that was fun seeing that. And then seeing their kind of small group time as well.
I do think it's really amazing. Sean and I have met with some younger families around our dining table when Sean would tell me, these people want to come meet with us about parenting. And they literally have young kids. I was very impressed thinking Sean and I really weren't at the level of asking that when we had young kids. And Sean and I always talk about people, when you're in an intensive, a marriage intensive, your marriage is in crisis. It would really be great if we got help before we were in crisis.
Yeah.
So I think just seeing these people be here before their kids are in crisis, it's such it's just an amazing compliment that we get to do this, that the Lord has allowed us to steward these people, but it is hard. Mm-hmm. And to have some people around you to lean on and just say, man, what do we do? And people that are maybe a little bit ahead of you in that journey.
Yeah.
I think that's a significant change you mentioned, Christina. Jose, you can speak to this generation behind us better than we can, but is it true that maybe 20 years ago, people weren't asking, they weren't looking for information as much? They were kind of relying on what they had learned, maybe what they were hearing at church or what their parents had taught them about being a parent and kind of going it on their own a little more. Now we have the blessing of a generation that really is used to Googling things finding information. And that's the blessing of this generation. The downside is there's information everywhere, and you can get information on parenting from any source. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't want it, it comes streaming into your house, and it's not always credible or reliable or research-based, or most importantly, in line with what God wants for parenting.
And that's what's so beautiful is that we have the manual. It's always been there for parents. You see 39 books in the Old Testament speaks to family and parents and how God uses Abraham's family. And so we have great models of parenting, and we have some really good examples of what not to do in parenting in the Word. And then we have the New Testament now for everybody. And you guys did a great job plugging from Scripture. And but I really want to highlight, I mean, personally for me, you guys have been the model for me and Taylor both. You guys have been the model on how to parent. We each have four kids. You guys have five. Mm-hmm. And seeing how spread out you guys are in your parenting, I think has been a strategy of God to speak into now various generations. So personally, I want to thank you. And then also want to say this quote. When we were talking about the notes last week, Shauna, I made sure to make sure that this was your quote. This is it. Parenting can be a primary path God uses to refine us and make us holy. That's yours.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody said similar things over time, but I'm sold out to that thought that there are many things in my life that have brought me closer to God or caused me to have to be refined, to go through the fire, to be more Christ-like. Certainly being married to Christina, marriage does that. Marriage does gives that. You a chance to learn to be a little more selfless and a little more sacrificial and a little more balanced in how you love people with grace and truth. And then parenting just takes that to a whole different level, because the feelings I had for Christina when we got married were real and they were honest and they were authentic. But man, when we had that first baby, all of a sudden something happened in my heart. And I was like, wow, this is a whole different level of love and care and responsibility that I have. And so to think about the opportunity I had to be a father, especially as scripture so often talks about God being my father, mm-hmm. and to think I get to reflect him in how I love our kids. And so Christina and I together have been teaming up on that for 27 years now.
Well, and you talk about true love. When we first had Taylor, she had done nothing, she had achieved nothing. And so really it was this just gift of true love that was the first time for you and I. I mean, you show me love and you give me love, but it was just the first gift that I think I really received and understood God's love for me in my life. Just tangibly on that day.
Yeah, that's true. I value you because you're beautiful and you do great things around the house. But Taylor, that first child, you just value because they're yours, right?
Because they're breathing.
Right, and, yeah. I think you said something, Jose, about biblical-based parenting. And I said it Sunday. It's one of my favorite quotes. Spurgeon said it, to visit many books but live in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we're all about being listening to podcasts on parenting, being in books on parenting. But at the end of the day, our base has to be, our foundation has to be the Word of God.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to hit this here in a couple of weeks as a church, where we'll talk about Ephesians 5, where it does speak to parenting. But before Paul speaks to parenting, he speaks to marriage. And you guys landed there on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Ironic, kind of, that you're going to a parenting series, and then the first thing that you really focus in on is, well, take care of your marriage. Now, shout out to the parents out there that are not married that are there. I'm so glad
that you're
going to parenthood. This means that, you know, you have a support system, you and God. Please lean in on the church. But the biblical model is that we are to prioritize our wives before we are to prioritize our kids. Again, you guys have modeled that really, really well. I'd love to hear how you guys have done that through the years, and maybe some challenges that have come up as you've raised so many beautiful, wonderful
Yeah, children. Thanks for shouting out those single parents out there, because they are heroes,
yes.
Those that are going it. And without the opportunity to have a partner alongside them on a consistent basis, or maybe even an ex-spouse who's trying to do things differently than they are, and they're trying to hold on to biblical parenting. So shout out to those folks for sure. And we actually did start with, first and foremost, that identity in Christ, that individually, whether you're a single parent or a married parent, your identity is in Christ. And to the extent that you hold on to that relationship with him, and that your worth comes from being his child as opposed to being the father of Cody or, you know, the mother of Taylor, that's not a good place to get your identity, because you're going to fall short consistently in that space. And that's honestly the first pitfall we fell into, was getting stuck in that place. But once you get past that, then it comes to the marriage piece. And it's like, all right, so we do have this child. We value him. We love him unconditionally. But we can't let go of our priority in terms of our marriage. And we have, man. We've wrestled with that over time and made sure to prioritize that. We were talking even after the session, though. It's great we have this podcast to follow up on this, that, man, Christina, you said when people have young kids, sometimes self-care seems like, how am I going to get a weekend away, or how am I going to get that date night when we don't have it? But you said we got to help people understand you don't need that long a period of time sometimes.
Right. I met with a really amazing person yesterday, a woman, and she was just sharing her heart about this. And, you know, some of these people that travel a lot, some of these parents are gone. And Sean, we've been in that season when he was gone from Sunday to Thursday and would come back and reentry. And she just said, how do we do this? Because when my spouse comes back into town, I don't want to take him away from the kids. And so I said, it's not even doing one more thing. It's taking, what if it looked like Saturday morning, you told your kids, 30 minutes. We're going to go sit outside. We're going to be by, we're going to have some, you know, juice together. We're going to have coffee together. And it's 30 minutes. Unless the house is burning down, don't come out there. Because you have to find these moments of intentionality, and it doesn't have to be this grand, I used to think it did. This date night had to be planned. It had to be specific. We had to spend, save for money. And it's just maybe taking a walk, being connected, but making sure your children see it's our time, right? 30 minutes or whatever your verbiage wants to be. And that gave her some relief, like, oh man, it doesn't have to be what I thought it was, and add one more thing. And it could be even taking away things. I had to say no to things that I did want to do. I do want to serve. But in that season, it just wasn't the time for it.
You've done this, right, Jose? Y'all have had small children, and you and Taylor have tried to find ways to stay connected. And what was it for you? Nightly routine? Y'all had the kids down? Y'all had some time at night? Or how did y'all find ways?
Yeah, it's changed through the years. And I love, Christina, what you're getting to, that you make the time that you make the best of the time that you already have.
Correct.
So whether it is 15, 20 mm-hmm. minutes, really it's intentionality, just being intentional for us. It's Monday nights especially. So last night was an example. We turn on the TV, watch Monday Night Football, and catch up while we're delighting. We mm-hmm. both enjoy watching sports, so she's not doing that just for me. But we're enjoying time together when the kids are asleep, mm-hmm. and we're catching up, and then we go throughout the day. So it's finding those little moments. Mm-hmm. Finding those simple ways. Another easy way is to send text messages during the day when both of you are at work, or when you may not be with one another. But how do you intentionally send a note, or leave a note at the house, or send a text, basically letting them know, hey, I see you. I mm-hmm. love you. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. How are you? Before kids come home and, you know, all of the commotion begins. So it's a balance. Mm-hmm. And I think every season has its challenges. I can't tell you what it was like when we were sleep deprived. So I don't remember.
Yeah.
Simply put.
Yeah.
And I think if that's where you're at, or if you're about to enter into that season with a newborn, you know, it goes to the stages of parenting that you guys talked about, where ages 0 to 5, it's heavy control.
Mm-hmm.
When Ayla was born, I remember feeling like it was fourth quarter football game. You know, I am worn out, but if I don't get my helmet on and get out there on the field, my team's not going to have, you know, who they need. And if I'm not ready to hit that other person playing defense, that person's going to come and hit me. So it was a battle every single day. And again, going back to parenting refines us. I think it's part of God's plan.
Yeah, it really is. That time early on when those kiddos are small, you have to make so many sacrifices. And that is part of the sanctification process. That's part of the purifying. That's part of the realizing, man, at the end of the day, this life isn't about us anymore. That's the shift from being a single person doing your own thing and making your own decisions to being married to ultimately having these kids. Your time isn't your own anymore. It is completely shared. And that's really almost the bigger shift for people, is the emotional and mental shift of, wait a minute, I don't have the freedom to do what I want when I want, and I now have the responsibility. I now have to hit that person across the field from me. And the analogy that you were using there, you got to be willing to make that mental and emotional shift to the opportunity you have now.
That's it.
Like it used to be freedom, and freedom was amazing. But now the opportunity to take care of and steward mm-hmm. the life of another human being that God's mm-hmm. entrusted to you, I don't know what greater privilege we're going to get here on earth than that. Than he take, you know, a vessel of his goodness and his, you know, God's got the, put in our kids the ability to change the world, and we get to love that for a small period of time. And it is hard as you're getting used to it those first few years. But it is so worth it. But the mental and emotional shift is something that if you're listening out there, I want you to get. It's not just a physical, I'm not sleeping as much. It's really your life is different. Yeah. Your outlook, the responsibilities of your life are different than they used to be. Not worse. Honestly, I would argue they're much better.
Yeah, I do think it when you're in the middle of diapers and breastfeeding and formula and keeping these people alive, you are physically exhausted, right? And then there's a shifting when they become a little bit more independent. And then when the teenage years, you are emotionally and mentally exhausted. I think it's what the devil does, is takes their behavior and puts the fear and hurt and makes us react to their behaviors in a way that I had never experienced before. And I remember having to tell Taylor once, I'm really sorry I reacted that way. I've never been a mom of a 16-year-old girl before. I've been a 16-year-old, you know, but I've never had one to come alongside.
That's great.
It's the same thing with my boys. Like, first off, I've never even experienced what you're experiencing. But just to remember, I've never been there and ask for forgiveness and say you're sorry. And grace is there to be, you know, received from your kids too, because they do teach you sanctification on a daily level.
Okay, I got a question for you guys, and it has to do with those early years. Have you found that when you invest well in those early years, when you are present, when you wake up countless times, I mean, again, Christina, shout out to all the moms out there for all that you give, literally, physically, emotionally. I mean, it is just, it is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's truly inspiring. The role of the mother, especially in those first few years. Do you find that when you commit to those years with all your heart and you give everything that you have, is there a return of your investment where you have that security, you have that connection with the child, and it helps you in the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way to 18 years?
Yeah, there's no doubt. The train up a child in the way he shall go, is there's so much depth to that passage in Scripture. But the investment you make in the early years, the stability and the security and the attachment that forms in those years is an incredibly solid predictor of what development's going to look like years to come. So psychology has been proven out what the Bible has said for a long time. And I think that it's important to know, if you're listening, that stable, secure attachment doesn't mean what some of the world is telling us right now, that you've got to be, you know, responsive to every moment of that child, and you've got to give that child the ability to, you know, think for themselves and make decisions on their own, and all this crazy stuff that our culture is telling us we should do with kids that aren't developmentally ready for that. That stability and security comes from a balance of being there for them significant amounts of time, and then handing them off to grandparents and handing them off to your friends that you're kind of doing the date swap thing with, where like, hey, you watch our kids, we go on a date, and then we'll watch your kids, you go on a date. And you're like, but we want to go on a date together. Well, you're not going to get to do that, all right, unless you find some third party. But the reality is, it's a balance. Like a lot of things, Jose, you're tired of hearing me say balance. I know.
Oh, but, no, it's so true.
But the ability to invest significant amounts of time and energy to create security and stability in your young children, 0 to 5, really controlling their environment, will pay tremendous dividends. But you got to be careful, because there are people in our world that are trying to say, hey, you need to spend every second. You're the key to this. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, you were telling a story about somebody watching video monitor of their kids while they were on a date or something.
No, we were at a wedding, and a great group of friends, they're brand new parents. And the first thing that they asked us, Taylor and I hadn't seen these friends for about a decade. So we've been raising our kids, but they met Ayla. This is when we were living in DC. And the first question that they asked is, it's hard enough keeping one kid alive. How did you guys do it with four? And the answer to that question is, you really don't know until you know, until you have more kids. There's no way that you can comprehend, even prepare. It's just one of those things. But yeah, they... We did have this conversation. Parenting is hard, and there's now all of this new technology that is available. So one of our friends, I thought he was watching football at the wedding, but no, he was watching his child having a hard time going to sleep in a different state, very, very far away through, you know, the internet.
It's crazy.
And that, those are the things I think that we need to watch out for, because if we don't, they will control us, then our kids will go all the way up to that priority that's not healthy above the marriage and above us and God.
I talked a little bit about it Sunday, and I'm sure we'll hit on it, but it goes back to, even for teenagers, those of us that have teenagers that drive, and it's a scary moment. This, we'll touch on it later, but it is very scary when your kid drives away for the first time and the second time, and then when he's gone at midnight or whatever. But this, you know, Life 360 and Find My, you know, iPhone stuff, all this technology is so great, but it's also so unhealthy because we become so obsessed with it, right? I mean, I've been on girls' trips where my friends are just like constantly, oh my, now he's going this, you know, now he's going this mile per hour. Now he's not supposed to be there. He's supposed to be here. And we can't even enjoy where you're present. And so it goes back to that, do you trust the Lord? They're not even ours. They're a gift from Him, which is really hard to say.
Yeah.
But Sean and I have actually lost a child, and so we've experienced the loss, and to say that Avery was completely his.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really hard. That one thing is very hard to go back to and say, I trust you. I believe in what you say you're going to do. Help me to just trust that and not put my fears on my kids and go back to becoming a kid-centered home, going back to going, who am I in Christ? I am a child of the Most High God. Secondly, I get to be Sean's wife. And then third, I'm their parent. I'm a parent. So yeah, just to be careful that good things that technology's creating, which is great, a video that you can see your kid in live, which is crazy, but to not get so consumed with it.
Great. Yeah, I think that's all speaking to that balance, right? We go all in, we're there for our kids, we're creating stability and security, the 0 to 5, we're really controlling their environment because we're setting the stage that's going to really make parenting easier the years to follow. And we're not going so overboard that we don't still enjoy our relationship with the Lord, enjoy our time with our spouse, and trust that our kids are, they're His and they're going to be okay.
Yeah, this quote, again, attributed to Dr. Stover. We can spend probably 30 minutes on this. Let's just spend a couple of minutes. Here's what you said. Your children will either inherit God's promises or your fears. Mm. It speaks to everything that we're talking about. If you're afraid that your child is going to do X, Y, or Z, mm-hmm. that insecurity is going to be passed down.
Yeah.
And can you speak to that? Can you help remind us how to stay focused on what's most important?
Yeah, Christina just highlighted a lot of that. This realization that, hey, our kids are His. They're not, you know, first and foremost ours. We get to steward that and we get to love them during this time. And thankfully, most people listening have small kids. You don't have to worry about some of this yet. But as your kids get older, that's why these early years are so important. We're at the age now where our kids are out there and, man, they're getting caught on video, they're getting posted on social media, and you don't know. Mm-hmm. You can't control that stuff. You know, you're like, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, they might catch the moment where they're doing something amazing and that gets posted, or they might catch the moment where they're, you know, banging a helmet in a locker room and yelling at people who aren't trying hard enough. And that's, you know, maybe we're less proud of that. So the reality is, to the extent that we get our
identity,
yeah, our needs for approval and acceptance and affirmation tied up in how our kids are acting, man, we're in for a roller coaster of a ride when it comes to self-esteem. And if you've got teenagers, I was speaking of that, but small parents, I mean, we see them all the time in HEB, you know, and I know that those moms are sitting there going, but my kid's acting out, they're normal, you know, they say things like, they normally don't act like this, or they, I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, they're not a kid, because they all act like that at some point, but it's pretty easy to get sucked into that. But to the extent that you just can kind of stay in a good spot as a parent, that's what that quote's getting at. You know, it's like, hey, how do I stay in a good spot, trust the Lord for who I am, trust who He's making them to be, and just love them through this, as opposed to just, Christina used the word earlier, reacting. You know, do I react to everything that's going on in their life, and does it freak me out too? And all of a sudden, now my insecurities are on the surface, and those are inherited pretty quickly by our kids.
I had a week ago, Monday, we try to have family dinners when we can, and we were driving to family dinner, and Cody was in the car with us, and I felt disconnected from him. So I have three core fears. One of them is not being good enough and being disconnected. And so I'd asked him a question about something, and he made a kind of a snarky response, and I completely reacted and just told him what I thought. I thought he was being a jerk. All the things, just very hurtful. And I had to just go back and I had to apologize to him. And I had to say, I had to look at myself and go, I'm really empty and exhausted right now. So my reaction wasn't a response. I could have been so much better with that. But that's what our kids do. They push our buttons. The moms that are on the airplane, and when they see, they walk up to the gate and everybody's like, oh, you know, they're going to end up sitting by me or whatever. And instead, like, great, let me sit by them. Because we've all been there when our kid has had a tantrum on a plane. Mm-hmm. And the people that don't get it are probably kids that have, people that have never had children, which is, that's their choice, maybe. And so, I don't know, it's just nice to know we've all been there, we've all done that, but it goes back to what you said, and it's how do we get hopeful and healthy with who we are? And then the extension of who we are is these kids that God has given us.
I think you're spot on, babe. And to the extent that we need to understand this, we'll actually talk about this a little more in the next parenthood session, because our fears cause us to react. And with the small kids, you know, when our buttons get pushed, was the word you used, Christina, mm-hmm. your disconnection button was pushed with Cody and you reacted verbally.
Right.
That's more what happens with teenagers. With the small ones, it usually means our discipline comes as a reaction. Mm-hmm. And that's a dangerous thing. Whenever we're disciplining out of a reaction to something we're feeling inside, as opposed to we're trying to correct a behavior that's going on in them. Because to the extent that, you know, something's going wrong with little Johnny, and now I'm feeling like a bad dad or a bad mom, and so I'm my buttons are pushed, and I'm going to react and spank them in the moment, or I'm going to out of a little bit of anger, or I'm going to, you know, say something harsh and send them to their room and disconnect from them relationally. That's where our fears get transferred
onto
them.
It's more about you than it is about parents.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So being able to pause and go, okay, what's going on in their behavior? How do I separate what I'm feeling from that? Lord and I can deal with that. It's okay to feel something, but God and I got to work that out. I don't want to put that on my child. So what was their behavior and what's the best thing for me to do for them in this situation?
Yeah, that's really good. Guys, this was a great, quick, short conversation. If you're listening, I'm so glad that you want to grow in your parenting. Welcome to the club. Parenting is hard. It's not easy. And that's why we want to come alongside you and equip you for the next podcast. If you have questions, submit them. conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. Send an email, and we'd love to talk about your questions next week on the podcast. Sean and Christina, any final words of encouragement as we go on?
It's worth it.
So worth it. Two of ours are grown and launched, and they're some of our best friends. And it's just amazing to be able to be on that side of it. And then we have two more that we're still, you know, one is, let's see, we're still teaching and we are influencing one. So that has been really fun to see. And yeah, we're about to launch one in May, and both Sean and I will cry again. I'm crying just thinking about it. It's always hard launching one because it does change your family dynamic. Yeah. So, but it's been such a gift and precious to be able to parent these sweet babies.
You said something Sunday that's worth repeating, babe. Where your feet are planted, be there. Whatever stage of parenting you're in, the hard stages early on that are physically taxing and draining and you have no time for yourself, the middle stages where you're directing, the later stages where you're teaching and influencing, wherever you are, just be in that stage. It's you're going to miss it when it's gone. Believe it or not, you will miss it. And you'll forget the hard parts, right? Jose, your mind goes blank. You don't remember those.
God removed them. I was trying to rack my memory, and there's not much there. So, yeah, thank you guys so much, and look forward
thank
to
you.
The next podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.